It's Marketplace Tech for Thursday, March 9th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Bitcoin, you heard of it? If you listen to this show, I know you have. Digital currency enabled by ingenious technology, mysterious origins, not quite legit yet, but there are a lot of potential applications for it. One of them seems to be Bitcoin as an investment. The Securities and Exchange Commission is planning to decide this week whether a new Bitcoin-backed exchange-traded fund, or ETF, can list on a global stock exchange. Associate finance professor from Georgetown University, James Angel, is going to exchange some information about all of this with us. James, how are you?
Hello.
So to start, let's talk about exchange-traded funds. What are they?
Exchange-traded funds are very efficient ways to implement very specific investment strategies. For example, if you want to own the entire stock market, you can buy the Vanguard Total Stock Market Index Fund.
Uh-huh.
If you want to invest in stocks that are only emerging markets, chances are there is an exchange-traded fund that lets you do that.
And ETFs are pretty common, right? Like, I know I have something with Vanguard at the top of it that I get once a month.
Yes, there are over 1,700 ETFs in the United States with over $2.7 trillion of assets.
What would it mean if this Bitcoin-backed ETF is approved?
It would be an endorsement of Bitcoins as a legitimate investment medium. So the SEC would be saying that it's okay for investors to invest in Bitcoins just like stocks, bonds, gold, or other commodities.
Would you invest in this fund?
No. For one thing, most of the Bitcoin trading right now takes place in China, so it is very difficult to come up with a fundamental value for Bitcoin. And since my skill is not in guessing what the fashions of Chinese speculators are going to be like in the near future, I don't think I have any comparative advantage in speculating on the price of Bitcoin. When you look at the other applications for Bitcoin, there are usually better solutions to almost all of them. And indeed, the pseudo-anonymity of Bitcoin is a problem. That anonymity makes it the coin of the realm in the dark web.
If knowing all this, I still want to invest, not saying I personally do, but one still wants to invest in Bitcoin, what should they know about this if it's approved?
Well, they should know that they're taking on a lot of risk, that Bitcoin prices have been extraordinarily volatile, and there are many things which could go wrong and many things which could go right. You know, there are a lot of risks that Bitcoin 1.0 may not be around all that much longer.
James Angel, he's an associate professor of finance at Georgetown University. James, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Remember the murder case where an Amazon Echo smart home speaker was being called to testify by the prosecution, or at least police wanted data from that Echo that might give insight into what happened to Victor Collins, who was found dead at another man's home in Arkansas last November? Well, there's been a development in that case, and there's some other smart home device security news as well. So CNET Editor-in-Chief Lindsay Turrentine is here to chat. Lindsay, Amazon's releasing this data after all?
Yes. So there had been attorneys making a request that Amazon should turn over all of the audio logs from the Amazon Echo that was in the home of a supposed murder. And the whole request sort of ended with a meh when the defendant said, sure, go ahead, take my logs. So all of a sudden, Amazon is no longer trying to claim that this is protected under the First Amendment and backed off and said, okay, he said you can have them. Here you go.
Wow. Interesting. Do we have a sense of why?
Well, we don't know why the defendant decided to turn over the logs. We do know that Amazon probably doesn't want to have a big fight. It is still an open question, though, whether or not requests made to your Amazon Echo and the things that you ask it are actually protected under the First Amendment. That question will not be answered by this case any longer.
In other smart home news, Google's Nest product line is apparently trying to boost security with two-factor authentication.
Yes, that's right. So Nest and the Nest Cam is now going to give you the option to use two-factor authentication. In other words, you will enter your password when you go to interact with your camera, and then you can also ask it to ask you to enter a code that comes to you from your cell phone. And the idea is that this makes your Nest smart home devices a little bit safer against the kinds of hacks that we heard about last October during the large hacker-induced outage that came to us, mostly through not very well-protected smart home devices.
Do you think that that is a large step forward when it comes to protecting our data in the smart home?
I think that any time you can turn on two-factor authentication in any device that is connected to the internet, it's a step forward for you to protect yourself against individual hacks. You know, somebody who wants to break into your device, somebody who wants to get your data.
Lindsay Turrentine, editor-in-chief of CNET.com. Lindsay, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Ben.
And last April, we talked to a guy named Joshua Browder, then a 19-year-old student who had built a chatbot called Do Not Pay to help fight parking tickets in San Francisco. It was pretty successful. Even back then, though, he had bigger plans.
Well, over the summer, I'm looking to expand it to help refugees claim asylum, first in England and then in Sweden and Germany.
Okay, it didn't happen last summer, but cut the kid some slack. He is a college student after all. Now the same chatbot can help asylum seekers in the US, the UK, and Canada get information and even fill out an application. It uses Facebook Messenger and simple questions. It's not a magic solution for the bureaucratic process, sure, but Browder thinks there's a bright future for this kind of solution.
I know thousands of programmers with much, much more experience than me working on similar issues. So if I could do it, those with PhDs doing it are going to be producing things really powerful in the next decade.
Read more about Joshua's ticket-fighting asylum-seeking bot at facebook.com/marketplacetech. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.